is Joyce Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out in service. You are listening to our weekly sermon featuring Pastor John Kyler.
Hopefully, when you came in, you received one of the updated mission partner booklets that outlines all of those our partners. And if you turn to page 9, you'll find some information about Sarah Matua. Sarah's been one of our partners for several years now, and it's a privilege to support her ministry and for us to be able to be connected to her work through our prayers and our financial support. If you have not met Sarah, you're missing out on a great blessing. She's a woman of great faith, a delightful heart, and just a joy to be around, as well as a dedicated servant serving in unique ways in Kenya. Sarah, if you would come up now, tell us about your ministry. Do you want this? Just stand here, but do you want the stool?
Good morning. Maybe I can place this. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor John. I must say I'm greatly humbled and so thankful to God for the honor and privilege of being able to partner with this church, Stoffs Community Church. Some friends of mine who heard I was back here the other day were sending messages and saying, we want to know what trick you have to be able to get to visit even at this stage and see dear old friends like Nitsa, some of your missions team that I have known for a while now, Sharon and the whole team. I'm just so, so enriched indeed. I'm privileged by God to be able to be part of this family of God. And it is one reason that I have felt encouraged and inspired to carry on in my journey. Even though just last May, I celebrated 40 years involvement with the Navigators as part of the Navigator team in Africa, in Kenya and then Africa. And that indeed is a work of God. Most of you, at least many of you, had me last time I was here. And as Pastor said, there's my outline in the book, in our missions book, so I won't need to say too much. But I want to say special greetings from my two sons. I have two sons whose father passed away when they were 10, age 10 and going to 13. But today, Samuel is going to 27 years old and Stephen is 25. What a blessing it has been to see God help us and to see those boys grow into men who are now having jobs. They have some work situations in Nairobi, Kenya, where we live. And I live too with a young man who is what would be like an extended nephew, grandnephew. But in Kenya, he would just call me grandma. So I'm a grandmother in that sense. I thank God for that. So it's a blessing also to have family. I want to thank God particularly for the work with the Navigators. Many of you know the Navigators have a ministry that believes they're called to advance the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom into the nations through spiritual generations of laborers living and discipling among the lost. spiritual generations being the emphasis, as that is our distinctive in terms of ensuring that not only are we each serving the Lord in the capacity he has called us, but ensuring that there is a generation. In Africa in particular, it makes great sense for any of us to believe that we must have children, and they should have children too. And that's why I still talk of, I can boast if I'm a grandmother. And it's as important, or even more spiritually, to feel I should be a grandmother. So that is our emphasis. I'd like us to start to look at one scripture. I have the New English Version Bible here, and I'll read Isaiah 52, verse 7. If we could just look at that scripture, that will form the basis of my brief sharing. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" Your God reigns. I want to believe that our main focus and goal in the work among navigators and in Africa in particular is to uphold the name of the Lord. It's no great news anywhere in the world of how the world has just become upside down, so to say, in terms of social, political, economic systems. Everywhere there are cries and complaints of life. We see all manner of distresses, families and family fabric has broken down. Young people are giving up on life. We have a lot of suicidal cases. We have national political structures breaking down and all manner of intrigues going on in our nations. So the big message, the main message we must be carrying is our God reigns. And what does that mean? So in the Navigators of Africa, we have an arm of the ministry. The leadership focuses on having key people in every nation that we have a ministry in, presently close to 27 countries in Africa, some who are English speaking, some French speaking. So we have both Anglophone and Francophone countries. I serve as part of the regional council where I am considered the point person for the women who are in each of these national works. But I work with a team. I have a team of six other women, and you can see them in this picture here. There's five of us here. Two were not in the picture today. But maybe just quickly to mention, yours truly there on the extreme left. Next to me from your left, is that your left? Yeah, from your left is Phoebe Mwara. Phoebe is a university professor in Nigeria, but she and her husband also serve on staff with the Navigators. And she speaks French and represents our Francophone outreach among the women on this team. Next to her is Dr. Laura Mauza, who with her husband have led the work in Zimbabwe for a while, but she's helping us oversee the work in the Anglophone So Phoebe does the Francophone and Laura does the Anglophone. Now next to Laura, next to Laura in the middle, then there's Christine Mopada. Now Christine is actually the wife of our recently selected regional director, Mr. Mopada. Now Christine too is an entomologist, but she has left her work now, and she and her husband, Edward, have moved from Uganda to Kenya, the headquarters of the Africa Work, and that's where they now live. So she is working with me on this team to just oversee the women's work. And right at the end, to your extreme, now the right, is Susan Nantongo. Susan is a single girl. She's not married, so she is in partnership helping us work to ensure the ongoing of the work among the younger women or the unmarried women. This team primarily has had a chance to just think together on how best to advance our regional mandate, like I read out, which is the same as the international mandate to advance the gospel of Jesus. And to think a little more carefully, as women, how do we ensure that the women are equally advancing this gospel with the given understanding of raising laborers and generations of laborers in each of our countries, given the various cultures and traditions, and given the challenges, whether politically, socially, in terms of what levels we are also. There are some who are senior, some younger. What will it take, and how do we exactly go about it? So we are thinking presently in three forms. We looked at this scripture, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news. So we are talking about beautiful feet. Now, beautiful feet could be yours as well as mine. It doesn't have to be only women who have beautiful feet. Can men have beautiful feet? I believe they can. You don't talk of handsome feet, do you? It's beautiful feet. Anyone who brings good news. So the concept here is to ensure that all the feet are beautiful before the Lord. And therefore, we want to ensure that we have a healthy partnership with the men, and we have to think of ways that we do what God entrusts to us, and we understand what God is saying at the time that we are doing it. And so we looked at it in three forms. We talk about the fresh feet. Looking at this, an illustration in the scripture, without taking too long, I'll just mention the story of two women in the book of Judges. Most of you at least have heard of the story of Deborah, okay? A lady who was, in America, do you call it Lady Justice like we do, or an attorney? Yeah, she was a judge, okay? In Africa, we'd say a lady justice. So Deborah was one woman who served in some high circles, had a leadership gift, and was able to work at the level of national leadership, if you like. She could as well be considered she was an attorney. I don't know what is the highest office here of judiciary. Supreme Court, okay. In Kenya, yes, we talk about Chief Justice. So she could have served as the Chief Justice of her nation. Interestingly, Deborah did not have to become the army general just because she seemed to have the political answers when Barack came along with an issue of the forces that were really giving them trouble. So all the political upheavals came on board, and there was a war to be fought. And Deborah just gave some advice according to what she felt the Lord was saying. So even though she had that gifting as an attorney and as maybe like chief justice, she still was very focused on God. And because of that, God gave her the insights that became very useful for the whole nation. And she was gracious enough to share these things with Barak without necessarily wanting to take over and be the army general. She stayed in her place, and she was gracious in the way she presented her views, so that Barak took her advice and still encouraged her to come along and to team up with him. Now, that's the kind of spirit we wish to have as the women in this work, that we serve according to our giftings without without fear, without shame, and yet without being like imposing and seeming like we have to have a women's lib and prove that we can do better than the men. I mean, it was obvious in this case anyway. The men were all cowardly, they were fearing to get there. And Barak makes it clear to Deborah that we cannot go without you. But she takes on the role of just going alongside without fighting it out. So that's the kind of spirit with which we want to go, to listen to God, to know our place, our calling. Now, on the other end, there was one other woman, Jael, who in her capacity, she served, I mean, just like a nice homemaker, cooking her porridge, whatever she did in the home. We don't hear much about her full background, whether she had children, where the husband was. Okay, it says who her husband was, but it doesn't tell us too much of the rest of her story, except that Jael came on board also with an understanding of what was happening nationally. She knew there was a war going on, and this war needed to be won by Israel. And she knew on which side she's going to fight it. She did not come out also to try and join the army before she could prove her worth. All she did is come out, and in time, when she saw Sisera, the enemy of Israel coming, who was the general of the other army of the invading force, she came out with her, what would be like a kitchen knife, huh? Because that's all she had. And she had, no, first of all, she offered him some of the porridge, something special to drink, a cool drink, and something that would help a general feel relaxed. She had him relaxed. He fell asleep, and she did her own work. She didn't have to use a gun. She didn't have to become an army man or woman. She just served from the point she was. Now, one thing that was common between these two women was that they both understood what we could consider the national strategy. They knew what needed to be accomplished to liberate their nation. We want to believe that we can be women who all understand our national and international strategy, regional strategy when it comes to Africa. What is God leading us to do? What is God saying? And it must be what God is saying, not just what navigators are saying, not what the world is saying, not what suits the political climate. No, what is God saying? And what is my gift? Where do I fit in? Whether I'm a Deborah or a Jael, I can cause there to be victory. And together with Barak, we can celebrate the goodness of the Lord. All of us can have beautiful feet. Feet that are fresh with understanding the mandate and also faithful in doing what God has called us to do. You will notice in my, you call it the profile here, I am of late encouraged to start documenting some of the things that God has done in the work among the women in Africa in the past while, at least up to the year 2000. There are women I would consider matriarchs of the work in Africa. They have served from the years of 1950, in the 50s, up to at least to the 2000. Some came as missionaries' wives. Others came on their own, single women. Others have served with their husbands in the work right there in Africa. They're African themselves in the leadership. And among them, we have the likes of Deborah and the likes of Jael. The likes of Deborah are such that we have one lady, for example, a friend of mine who is actually Kenyan, Esther Wariru, who grew through the ministry in those years with us. And Esther has served at different levels of leadership with the work in Kenya, in Africa, and finally with the international leadership team. She lives in Colorado Springs to this day and has been very faithful. Our first navigator woman on the international team came from the Africa work, and we thank God for that. We have a woman that unfortunately recently went to be with the Lord. We thank God for her life still, who served alongside her husband, again, came as a missionary from Denmark. She left her work, she was a medical trainee, and midway she left her work because of the calling of the Lord on her life and came with her husband to Kenya, serving among high school students. At that point, there was very little that could be counted on for disciples that can go and, you know, reach other people. But these students, all they loved is to come home and have some coffee and cake. And many of them confess to this day that they came because of Anne Marie's cake. And they loved the bread. Now, among those that started coming in 1970, way back in 1973, as a high school student, is one man who today has become our international president of the Navigators, presently the international work. Again, coming from that kitchen effort of some woman. These are but just a few stories I want to record, not telling necessarily the full history of each woman. Just like I've said, we don't get the full history of Deborah, we don't get the full history of Jael, but there's highlights of their lives, which according to Psalm 78, and I'll finish with that, are the things that God did, trustworthy deeds of the Lord. And these are for the sake of the next generations, that they too, every woman or even man who can read it, will put their hope in God. If you'll allow me, I'll just read that passage. Psalm 78, I'll read from verse 4, again in the New English Version, verse 4 to 7. It says, okay, it starts from verse 1, but let me just read from verse 4 these deeds, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And thus, Isaiah 57 fulfilled again, beautiful feat that says God reigns. In order to achieve all this, we are thankful that we have some partnerships like Stores Community. And that's one reason I'm here, to express special gratitude to you as a community church, Pastor John, and the rest of this membership. Very special thanks for your faithful support to us. We will definitely continue to covet your partnership, because we need the fresh feet that are faithful feet to be fueled feet. So we would like our feet to continue to be beautifully fresh, faithful, and fueled in partnership with Stores Community Church. And God bless you all. Thank you so much. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To find out more, check us out at storeschurch.org.